Let's look in our Bibles tonight in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Brother Arnold, if I forget it, let's go ahead and put that announcement in the revival, in the bulletin about the revival next week. Okay? Over at Lewis Lane. I appreciate that, brother. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, and we should be able to get on down through here a ways tonight, but we'll see what the Lord has for us. And verse number 19, Paul said, "But I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." He said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that also I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." And I think about that verse right there, and a lot of folks, I guess, they think, well, if you're super spiritual, you don't have sorrow. That's just not true. We have sorrow, we just don't have it like the world has it, amen? We don't sorrow as others which have no hope, amen. They're without God in the world. And often I wonder, as I walk up and down the corridors of these hospitals and nursing homes, I wonder, how do people face it without hope and without God in this world? The Bible said in verse 28, "I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. But because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." I want to back up to verse 19. I know that we've already covered some of this in one aspect, but I have it in my heart tonight to back up and maybe look at it in a little different light or a little different angle. And I want you to see the heart of the man of God. I want you to see the heart. There's actually three men of God, if I see it correctly here. The Apostle Paul's heart and Timothy's heart. And then the man down here, Epaphroditus. But I want us to hone in tonight on the heart of the Apostle Paul. The church in Philippi, which is located in northern Greece, we know that they didn't give Paul a lot of trouble like some of the other churches did. The church in Galatia was having trouble with the law. The church had trouble with the flesh and having trouble with division. And, you know, it would be like Paul, when he thought of the Philippians, he really kind of like in when Jesus is addressing the churches in the Revelation, there was a couple of churches. I remember Philadelphia is one of them, where he didn't have anything negative whatsoever to say about that particular church. Amen. And isn't that a blessing? Amen. But Paul, even though he didn't have anything negative to say, he didn't have to get on them about anything. I want us to see his burden. I want us to see tonight that the apostle, he wanted, even in some aspect needed, to know how that these Philippians were doing. And he couldn't get to them because he was in prison. I'll get to it a little bit later in the lesson that when you study this out, there's really not much of a way to make it come together unless you see that Paul was incarcerated at two different times. And he's writing here from Rome in prison. And this particular aspect that he's writing from here is like he's under house arrest. He has a lot of liberty. He's not in the dungeon like he's going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when the time of his departure is at hand. And he's wanting somebody to bring him a coat and wants somebody to bring him the parchment. That's not the situation that he's in right here. And whether he wanted to know, I believe, whether or not they were growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a shepherd that cared, a pastor that cared, a preacher that cared. And Paul could not go visit the church, so he planned to send Timothy. He said necessity was laid upon him, and he just had to know the welfare of this wonderful congregation at Philippi. Paul being in prison, he couldn't go himself, so he was going to do the next best thing. He was going to send Timothy to check on them and see how that they were doing. I believe that's a wonderful thing. Amen. If you know, in the Old Testament, you have Elijah and Elisha come along behind him. And in the New Testament, this is probably one of the closest things you have to that example of a man of God being a mentor to that man that was behind him, setting the example, encouraging him. I believe Paul encouraged Timothy. But let me say this. I believe Timothy encouraged Paul. Amen. I believe it works both ways. We edify one another. I believe a pastor ought to encourage his people. But I believe people ought to encourage their pastor. I believe the young ought to encourage the old, and the old ought to encourage the young. Something that's been on my heart in recent days, and it's been on my heart strong. I didn't mean to say anything about it tonight, but I just wonder sometimes in a church our size, when somebody like Brother Johnson leaves out and goes home to be with the Lord, I wonder if we don't have people that really don't even know who he is, and maybe even young people. And I'm wanting to make an emphasis on that. Amen. We need to get to know these folks. Amen. And I believe it'd be a blessing, amen, on our young people. Like Timothy, he got to know Paul, amen. And Paul said in this first verse here in verse number 19, he said, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly to you, that I also may be of good comfort. Now here's the key phrase, when I know your state. Paul wanted to know it wasn't that he was nosy. It wasn't that he was a busybody. Amen. Paul cared. Paul had prayed for him. Paul had set the example for him. Paul had preached the gospel to him. And Paul cared about the church. Amen. And I believe you'll see that through the lesson. Paul trusts the Lord Jesus. And I think this is something that would be easily overlooked in this verse. He said, I'm trusting to send Timothy, even in the little details of life. You know, that's why the Bible told us in the book of Proverbs, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In other words, I think, Brother Ralph, some folk operate like if something big comes along, well, we better go to God. But we can handle all the little stuff. But that's not what really I see in the Word of God teaching. In all of our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. And so Paul is trusting the Lord that he would be able to send this co-worker, Timothy, on this journey, even to oversee the journey in Timothy's life. And, you know, if God is interested in the hairs that we have on our head, amen, and he knows how many hairs we got up there, then surely he's interested in every aspect of our life, amen. As someone said one time that, you know what, there's a mistake made, and there is, among Christians. And that mistake would be thinking that you can divide the secular life from the spiritual life. When we get saved, amen, we're just saved. We're God's people. He's going with us everywhere we go, amen. And you've heard this said. I've heard this said of people before. And it's always a blessing. This will always be said in a positive light. When you hear somebody saying, oh, so-and-so is the same on Monday, He's the same on the job. He's the same at church. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. In other words, there's a consistency in that life. Amen. They don't just pray once a week. They pray every day. They don't just read their Bible once in a while. They read their Bible. They don't just witness, and they don't just let their light shine when it's convenient, but it's just a way of life. Amen. And I believe that's important. And sometimes I think that I want to say it in a way that it be received correctly, but sometimes there's nothing wrong with us emphasizing one day in the month where we have breakfast together and where we pray together and where we go out into the community together. But if that causes us to lose sight of the fact that we should always be ready to give an answer, we should always be looking for an opportunity to say a kind word, amen, or to witness or invite somebody to church, then that would be terrible, amen. In other words, this is a special time. We put an emphasis on it when we go out, and I thank God for each one that helps and each one that prays. But that doesn't, my friend, free us up for the rest of the month. We need to be on guard and walking in the Spirit. And I believe Paul was doing that. And trust, it means to hope. It means to have full confidence in someone. And Paul was trusting in the Lord, and he was also trusting Timothy. And I told you the story. I'm not going to go into that again, how that my pastor, not long after I was saved, I was called to preach, and he went on a trip into Mexico and left me with the services, left me with the church. I suppose at that time, Miss Eve, we were probably, what, 125, 150 folks, something like that, at Landmark Baptist Church. Not a real small church as far as number, not a real big church as far as number, but he trusted me. And I appreciated that. I never got over that. Amen. It did something for me. And I appreciated that. And then why would he need such a trip? Why would he need to send Timothy? Because he wanted to be of good comfort. Paul couldn't rest until he knew that the Philippians, my friend, were thriving spiritually. Now, I'm going to make a statement tonight. Please, I'll make several tonight. Amen. If you'll stay with me at 10 o'clock, I'll make several more. Amen. God is just, this thing's just swelled up in my heart. But you know, many of God's people, and I'm not pointing a finger at anyone, but in our generation, many are content just to survive. Many churches are content just to survive. Oh, dear God, if we can just survive. Amen. We're missing it. Amen. If we get in that mindset, God wants us to thrive as His people. He wants us to thrive. And listen, again, I said it when Brother Larry preached there Sunday night about going forward. Not always talking about numbers. What Paul is wanting to know about the church is, are they growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Are they going on with God? Are they going forward with the Lord? Are they growing in their faith? And he wanted to know that. And so he's going to send Timothy over there to check on him. Be of good comfort. It means literally to be of good soul, to be at ease, to be at peace, to be relieved of tension. And I read this, and I want to read it in your hearing tonight. And that way you'll know I'm not saying it. But this man that I read after, he said, where are the pastors like this today? Where are they? Who care for the well-being of the church more than they care for their own salaries, who care about God's people and their fellowship with God more than they care about their own agenda. That was the question. Where are the men of God? Where are the pastors today that genuinely care? Amen. I'll say this, as I went through this and studied this, I'll tell you, God spoke to my heart. I can say this, that's the kind of pastor I want to be. Amen. That's the kind of preacher and pastor that I want to be, one that cares. Paul is seemingly addicted to the ministry and the spiritual growth. It was said over there in of the family of Stephanus in 1 Corinthians 16:15. He said, you know the house of Stephanus, who are the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And Paul couldn't help it. Amen. I mean, it was his life. God's people were his life. Amen. And I remember, I've not had any text like this probably in a year. But when I first come here, I'd get a phone call, and here's how it would open up. I hate to bother you, Pastor. I'd get a text, and here's how, I'd hate to bother you, Preacher. I hate to bother you, Pastor. I finally convinced you all, I think, that you're not bothering me. Say amen. 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 Hey, what would it have been like for Paul to got a text or a letter from the church at Philippi about a prayer request or a need? He would have been thrilled. Amen. He wouldn't have said, my goodness, I've got enough load. Don't load me up anymore. No, sir. He cared for the people of God. And I appreciate that about this dear man of God. Listen to what the Bible said about Paul. He said over there in Corinthians, I'm in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. By the way, I'm stopping in the middle of this. God's going to help me. I'm going to memorize this text. If it takes me to heaven, say amen. I'm going to memorize this text because I believe this is a good text to put down in your heart. And when you get to Mully Grubs and think things ain't going too good, just go back through this list. Amen. And you'll find out, listen, there's been before us that's been through a lot worse. He said here, I suffered shipwreck a night and a day. I've been in the deep and journeyings often, perils of water, perils of robber, perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then he said this, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, listen to this little word, daily. That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know, often, and listen, I'm not fussing, but often as I travel around, I'll be going and talking to someone in a hospital or just in conversation, just in passing. I've had people say this to me, what day do you take off, Preacher? How many knows what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, listen, I'm not against that. I know that there are men that, you know, they set this day and I got to be careful, amen, because something just come back to my memory, amen. I'm not fussing at anybody. I'm not doing that, amen. Every man needs time for his family, needs time for his children and all of that. But I'm going to tell you what I see right there. He said that care comes upon me daily. He didn't say it come upon me, my friend, 6 out of the 7 days. He said, I care every day. Amen. And I believe that burden was on his shoulders every day. Amen. And I believe it's a wonderful reflection of what a man of God, what a pastor ought to be. How are we doing? Are we growing? Are we growing in our personal life? Are we growing in our homes? Are we growing in our faith? Paul would be writing to us, checking on us. Are we becoming more Christ-like? There are many things that we could measure by. But if we are failing to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to ask ourselves, why? Why aren't we growing? Why aren't we going forward, Brother Larry? If that would be the case, why would we not be? Amen. It might be because of we're malnourished. It might be because of some sin or some weight that's choking out the Word of God in our lives. Or that we've grieved or quenched the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, these are just some of the things. What I love about the Holy Spirit is, if that's not in the list and we need something else, He knows how to put His finger on what's keeping us from going on for God. What's keeping us from being what we ought to be for the glory of God. Are we going forward in our walk with God? If so, praise the Lord. If not, may God help us to repent, forget those things which are behind, and reach forth to those things which are before, and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In verse number 19 and verse number 20, he says it again. Watch this now. He said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. I want to know how things are going. And then in verse number 20, he said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What I'm trying to get us to see in this lesson is that Paul cares about how the church is doing. He cares about how the church is doing. Amen. He cares about the families. He cares about the deacons. He cares about the pastor. He cares. Amen. He cares. He can't get it off of him. It's a burden. Amen. And he cares about their state. The Bible said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, this was earlier in the book of Philippians, that I may hear of your affairs. And that's the same thing. Your state, how's it going? Amen. Paul wanted to know, how is it going down there at Philippi? Every once in a while, I get an email or I get a phone call from the Rock of Ages prison ministry, from some of the men or maybe the president of the ministry. And just a little while back, one of the men said, "Preacher, I heard the Lord's helping y'all up there in Kingsport." I said, "Amen. He's helping us. Amen. I don't know if he's helping you or not, but he's helping me. Amen. Every once in a while, I believe he helps us, and God's been helping us. And so somebody's hearing about our state." Paul was the kind of preacher who had to know how the flock of God was doing. Are they growing in the Lord? Have they stalled? Are they sliding backwards? He wanted to know what is their state. He desired to know so much that he was willing to give up his most trusted companion. Timothy could have stayed there with him. But he wanted to know so bad, amen, that he was willing to turn loose of Timothy to go, amen, and find out how the church. Well, I tell you what Paul wouldn't have given for email in that day. Say amen. But Paul, all in the mail he knew about was me mail. Amen. He knew how to get a hold of God. And he wanted to know how things was going over there, so he had to send a man plumb over yonder, and that man had to come back and tell him, amen, how that it was going there at Philippi. I thank the Lord for that. If we'll honor God, that's what Timothy's name means, honoring God. Amen. I got a lot to live up to. That's my middle name, Timothy. Amen. When Mama called my middle name, it wasn't because I was honoring God. If Mama yelled, "Richard, Timothy," now if it was Ricky, I was doing good. But if it was Richard, Timothy, business was fixing to pick up on the south end of Texas. Amen. I'm telling you, it means honoring God. Are we honoring God? If we are, if we'll honor God as God's people, God will honor us. This commandment, the Bible said, we have from Him, that he who loveth God, loveth brother also. Paul couldn't help it. He loved God. He loved vertically. And anybody that truly and genuinely loves vertically will love horizontally. You can't help it. Amen. And I believe that with all of my heart. We'll love the saints of God. We'll love sinners. And we'll love the Savior. Amen. Like-minded now. Let's look at that word there for just a minute. Where's that at? Verse number 20. He said, "I have no man like-minded." Timothy is considered to be like-minded or equal in soul, compatible in spirit. He and Paul held the same convictions and feelings and goals and had the same concern for what was going on over at Philippi. They wanted to know. And that's what like-minded means. By the way, I believe this is a great example in the Scripture. Paul is Timothy's teacher. And we have an opportunity as a teacher to have an impact on somebody else's life. Amen? That doesn't always... Listen, some people don't want to receive teaching. The book of Proverbs tells us about that. Amen? There are fools that despise instruction. That's what the Word of God said. But if somebody like Timothy wants to be taught and wants to learn, and somebody like Paul will come along and give them the Word of God, then it has a huge, a tremendous impact in their lives for the glory of God. Mothers have the privilege to impact the lives of their children. Fathers have the privilege to impact the lives of their family. Pastors have the privilege to impact the lives of their congregation. Amen. Youth workers have the privilege to impact the lives of young people. And on and on and on we could go. Another example in the Word of God of that impact. Proverbs said, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." How many believes Timothy was a wise man? How many gets it now? Why he's a wise man? He walked with a wise man. Amen? He walked with the Apostle Paul. Listen to what the Bible said over there in the book of Acts. And this has really been a favorite scripture of mine. It's not my life verse, but it's been a favorite for years. Amen? Another example in the scripture. The Bible, remember Peter and John, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. These were fishermen. These weren't men from the university. Amen? The only university they had been to is the University of Life. And many times the University of Hard Knocks. Amen? But I tell you what, the Bible said they perceived, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And they were acting like wise men because they had been walking with the wisest man that ever walked the face of this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ. Been talking with him. Timothy was going to be traveling to Rome. It was going to be dangerous. Why would he do such a thing? Because he loved the people of God. I say this, what about us? What about pastors and teachers in this generation? We ought to do what we do because we love the people of God. Do we love God's people to this extent? Galatians says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Do good to everybody. But if we have to make a choice, the Bible said we're supposed to do good to God's people first. Amen? I believe that. Especially to them that are the household of faith. Now, there's a challenge for us tonight. I'm going to break it off right here. I'm not done. But that challenge would be for us that preach and teach the Word of God, that we would have an intense desire to see God's people grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that is a worthy motivation, amen, that we ought to preach and we ought to teach that people might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that it's always exciting to see God work in hearts, save people. You know, I'm not trying to build anybody up tonight, but when a man gets saved and then he's in I won't even name his name tonight. He probably knows what I'm talking about. But then you come in a prayer meeting and he's here and he's like a sponge, just soaking up everything you can give him. Well, I tell you what, that thrills a preacher's heart. Amen. Amen. He said, "Preacher, why, listen, I've had people say, same Bible, same preacher, same message. I've been through this through the years where somebody say, boy, preacher, you don't know how much that helped me. You don't know what a blessing that was to me." And then somebody else, they'll never say it to your face. They're always around behind you thinking or saying something like this. Why don't he get him something to preach? You understand what I mean? Let me just say it like this. Sometimes I found this out with Olivia. Sometimes the problem is not the food. Sometimes it's the appetite. I've done been baptized several times from that little youngin'. Amen. She has spit it back all over me. And I believe down inside she's a grinning. Amen. When she does it, she gets relief and I get to change shirts. Amen. But you know what? We need to have that appetite too, don't we? That appetite for the good word of God. Paul, he couldn't stand it. His priority was to know the saints' welfare and their spiritual state. And I don't know about you tonight, but I hope if God leaves us around for another year, that we'll be a little closer a year from now than we are now. And another year, a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. If we ever get content, just rear back and say, well, I know it all. I've been at this for several years now, and you can't tell me anything, preacher. I'll tell you what I believe about this old Bible. I know. You just keep reading, and it'll keep telling you something. You'll keep wondering, Brother Gale, how did I miss that? Say amen, brother.
the blessed Holy Spirit give it to us on time, every time, amen, when he wants us to have it, amen, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We'll try to go on down through this next Wednesday night when we come back. Let's see. Yeah, next Wednesday night I'll be with you all. By the way, Brother Brian, there I go. I haven't made any plan for the Wednesday night. I'll be gone on the youth trip. I better be doing that, hadn't I? Amen. Yeah, not next Wednesday now, but the one after that. Amen. But anyway, we'll get someone to bring the Word of God. But next Wednesday night, perhaps we can finish this up, this chapter. I tell you, it's beautiful to see a man of God like Paul caring. It comes a little later in the lesson. He's not a hireling. You can't pay a man to care like Paul cares for the church of Philippi. Amen. Amen. You can't pay for that. It can't be bought. Amen. But I thank God for the example that he's left us in the Bible. Amen. I really do. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for the lesson. Lord, I'm excited about it. I want to be more like this man of God. I do, Lord. Lord, I had a good example. Brother Bud was a wonderful example. Lord, I just thank you, God. Lord, that you seen fit to save me. Thank you, Lord, that you seen fit to trust us with this Bible. Thank you, God, that you seen fit to trust us with this people. I pray, dear Lord, tonight. God, I pray you to help us. Lord, Solomon asked you for wisdom. God, tonight we just ask you, God, to give us wisdom, our Lord, that we might, Lord, be able to feed the flock of God, that we all might grow together in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen.